Hey, welcome back, friends, to another edition of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you're here because I have an amazing show for you. I have Mary O'Neill joining me. She is General Michael Flynn's sister, and we are talking about how local impact creates national results. And we are talking about America's future on this episode, including the America future for our children. So we get into some stuff about the future of our children and the importance of getting involved, especially on a local level. So Mary O'Neill is joining us today. So I would really appreciate if you would like, share, and subscribe this far and wide. Please do so. And if you believe in what I'm doing and would like to support the show, the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can become a monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber there. That really just helps support the program, and I'd appreciate that. So thank you very much for considering your donations. Also, I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. You can find me at True Social at Amber May or Frank Social at Amber May. I just joined Clout Hub, so you can find me there as well. So I'm really excited about today's episode, and coming up right now is Mary O'Neill. Told you, I have General Michael Flynn's sister joining us today, Mary O'Neill. She is a part of the America's Future, and I am so excited to have her on because we have similar hearts. We want to protect children and their future. So welcome, Mary, to the program. So glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here and very honored to meet you. And I'm so happy that Gabby connected us together. And I love to meet all the great people, women especially, doing their, you know, due diligence for children. It's so important for all children that we don't have a future without them, right?
Right.
We just don't.
On my website, I have on the resource tab, I have a whole page dedicated to stories about children. Yeah, and I try to keep updating that as I find more and more information about children, because I think it's very important that there is a place people can go and find out real information of what is going on with the children in the United States. And I recently spoke to a retired law enforcement officer who worked the border issue. And he is saying, yes, now there's a convergence going on in the United States where they are taking children and sending them to Mexico, kidnapping children and sending them to Mexico. And there's all kinds of stories like that. But also here locally, there is kidnapping going on through the CPS system. And there's just a whole bunch of attacks between the child gender issues. And there's just a lot of attacks on the children. And I think it's because God says, let the children come unto me, for such of these are the kingdom of heaven. And he loved the little children. Yeah. Jesus stopped an entire sermon just so he could hug on these children. Children are beautiful. And so Satan knows that. So he's going to go after the children. So tell me your story about your heart and how you got involved in America's future and why children are so important to you.
Well, I always say this, and I do have a very, very great relationship with Jesus and my Lord and my God, and my whole life is him. And I'm here because of God and because of my faith. I'm here because of him. I've been, you know, in circumstances in my life that have been very dangerous. And the Lord has brought me here to this point, healthy and alert, and heart is here. And so, you know, one of the things that I want you to understand is that today they've developed an environment in this country where women have to feel like they need resources, so they sell their children. You just talked about children going to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Well, women, for the first time, I've heard more cases of actually mothers selling their children. That's a desperation and a satanic, you know, influence that is by far, and don't think it isn't. I mean, people that say, you know, it has to be a, you know, a dark side to do that kind of thing, and a real deep desperation of a lost soul. So that's, the devil wants to pierce Jesus's heart, and that's how he does it. That's how he's doing it, through children. So that's, to me, this is why this is so important, because it all goes back to Christ and what he's doing to hurt Christ. And so we have lots of antichrists, you know, not just one. So everybody says, what's the anti? You think the antichrist? No, there, anybody that is anti-Jesus, that wants to hurt Jesus, is an antichrist, period. That's it.
That's right.
You know, you pray for them, you hope they change, and you hope that the light comes through them, but we can't, that's all we can do with many, many souls. Okay. So I came in to working. I had worked for the Catholic Church prior to being asked by my brother, General Flynn, to be the executive director of America's Future. I had been working as a finance director in New England in a very, very big parish in Rhode Island. And the Lord brought me into it, and I found all kinds of corruption, and I found money. So I'm a money person. I'm an auditor. I'm a compliance person. I've been in nonprofit world. I've worked for nonprofits probably close to 40 years now. So this experience in the Catholic Church, because I'm a Catholic, we brought up Catholic. And by the way, I love the Catholic faith, but the system and the institutions are the problems. You got to remember, the institutions are the problems. And the church is the first infiltration that the devil wants, and he got it. Okay, so it's happening. It's in there. So, you know, so that's how I came into this. So I discovered all this stuff in the Catholic Church, and I was very discouraged. And I kept saying to the Lord, why am I here? Why am I doing this? I don't like this. You know, so then all of a sudden I'm now accepting, you know, this position as the executive director of my brother. And I thank him for doing that and giving me this kind of new path that I needed to do. And you have this organization, like I said, it's 76 years old. It's one of the first nonprofits. And these guys were talking about communism coming, New World Order. I found rich history on what these guys were talking about, trying to warn people, even public school books. I've got pamphlets, and because that's what they did back then in this organization. All they had was writing, and then radio came. So we have all this technology now, right? But they just got their message through you know, the basics that they had available to them, which was print and then radio.
So in your organization in the Catholic Church, you're finding these writings about communism.
I'm sorry. So not in the Catholic Church. I just saw the money corruption and the So I came from wanting to get out of that and seeing what I saw there. And then Michael asked me to come in, work for him for this organization, which is what they were doing. This is what they were doing 76 years ago, 1948, it started. And that's what these guys were doing. Yeah. They were talking about all this stuff, and they were trying to warn people. And they were also, you know, really expressing capitalism and how wonderful it is to have small businesses and have opportunity. And this was really their big, because one of the founders was, or one of the board members, I don't know if he was a founder, but he was Sears and Roebuck. Remember Sears and Roebuck? I don't know. Remember, they were like the first shopping centers, you know, so like a Walmart or whatever, you know, would be today. And so Sears and Roebuck, guys like that, military guys, writers, there was a few scientist guys. There were some unbelievable people. And Phyllis Schlafly was one of them that took it over in like 93 or so, around the 90s. And she basically used it as a clearinghouse writing so she could write. Because a C3 is an educational nonprofit to educate. That's that kind of nonprofit that a C3 is. And that's what we are, to educate. So So I took it over, started it. It was a startup in 2021, May of 2021. And we fought in the judicial system because it's extremely infiltrated, extremely targeted, corrupted by the left, by this, you know, I call them this globalist, you know, group of people that wanted to control our country. They went into that's where they sat, and that's where they started to creep. And so you've got laws, you know, when my research about, you know, how the family court and the, you know, the acts that they protection acts of children, there's a history there that, you know, post Civil War, there were no, you know, parents had the rights. They had the discretion to, you know, they had their own discretion. That's what the Constitution says. Parents have the rights over their children, their children. So then that started after post Civil War, where they started to have these, they thought, massive social repercussions, you know, in societies. And then the industrialization started, remember, after post Civil War. So, you know, we had immigrants and it was growing this country. So that family court system grew into a system which we know now is extremely corrupt. It's extremely
corrupt. So the family court system started around the time of the Civil War?
Well, it started to, after the post-Civil War, it started to result in massive social repercussions, okay? And it was out of New York because, you know, of the industrialization and the immigration that started. So they started to, you know, say that, you know, there was problems with children and they needed rights for children. And so these people that started to, you know, think that children needed rights. So basically labor laws, because children were working. Remember back then, working. So these so children were working. So there was a group of people that were, they called themselves, I think what they called themselves was like the children care, the children awareness people. They were trying to say that children needed protection, which they do, of course. But, you know, parents are the protection that is God-given. And correct. This Constitution says that. That's what we have. That holds true in our Constitution. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the founding fathers didn't realize that we were going to be selling children, using children as a commodity, like a drug, like selling drugs or selling gold or silver. I mean, we literally are at a point right now where we're peaked at a height now where is most evil and children, a child has a value on their head, okay?
That's right.
A price on their head to many, many, many perverse people. We allowed these people to get away with things that they should never have been able to get away with. A child has been looked upon, unfortunately, as a commodity, but they were laboring. They put children into labor, you know, and that's kind of where they started to say, oh, they needed help, because there were groups of people saying that, you know, children needed protection because they're using as labor and all that kind of stuff. And then these other dark things started to happening, you know, children getting beat up or neglect or whatever. I mean, it was a tough time back then. The industrialization of this country was a very, very tough time in this country, but things change, but they weaponized all this, and they made a lot of money off of this family court stuff as it grew. You know, juvenile court came into the system, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going back to the, you know, Disability Child Act, 1965. I wrote a bunch of kind of time frames down, which our organization is doing, because I think if we figure out how to fix a system, we got to look at the history of it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. These days, it's hard finding doctors you can trust, but look no further, because now you can go to Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com for all your future healthcare needs. And while you're there, you might want to check out his supplements. He has some amazing supplements. For instance, the Optimal Defense, that is perfect for the cold and flu time of year. That helps support your immune system. And if you have like reoccurring issues that come up with your health, that might be a great supplement for you to try. You may also want to check out Immune Plus. It has herbs like echinacea and elderberry. And Immune Plus also contains medicinal mushrooms to help support the body's natural defenses. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, set up a telemed appointment with Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com. Use promo code AMBER while you're there. Again, Meehan is spelled M-E-E-H-A-N-M-D.com for all your telemed and supplemental needs. And remember, use promo code AMBER at checkout.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to the Amber May Show.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, My Pillow 2.0. When I invented My Pillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Yes.
Because we got to tear it apart. We got to tear that history apart. We got to figure out what society was like back then, and things change. And then why were these things developed? What was it? Political, which we know it was political, because anything with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's name on it that has to do with a child, we know today is not conspiracy.
Right.
We know the CPS has been weaponized. We know that children, there's 600,000 probably plus children disappearing in the foster care system. We don't know
That's
where they are.
True. That is
we know
true.
That. Yeah, we know that.
Yes.
You know, we do. We that have data.
Very true. I'd like to have that that history on my website. So when you get a chance,
sure.
To when you get a chance to put that together, or if it is, send it over and I'll add it to my website. But some yeah. of the things that the late Senator Schaefer came out with,
yes,
and you're right, it's terrible. The Child Protective Service, and this is her report. And juvenile yeah. court can always hide behind confidentiality clause in order to protect their decision and to keep the funds flowing. There should be uh-huh. open records and court watches. Look yeah. who is being paid. There are state employees, lawyers,
yes.
court investigators, court personnel, judges. Yeah. There are psychologists, psychiatrists, yes. counselors, caseworkers, yes. therapists, foster parents, adopted parents, and on, all right. looking to these children in state custody to provide job security. Parents do not realize that social workers are the glue that holds the system together, that funds the court, the child's attorney, and the multiple other jobs, including DFSCS's attorneys. Now, I want to point something out. She mentions attorneys. There was a study done by attorneys, and the study showed that there was very little difference between a jury, a court with juries and family court versus non-family court. And I want to say the reason why, you have to look at who's behind the study. So
yeah,
in their study,
right.
they concluded there's no difference, so we don't need a jury.
Right.
Well, this late senator just pointed out that all these people, including attorneys, get yep. paid by the system.
That's
it is
right.
a lot harder. It is a lot harder to bring in these cases in front of a court if there's a jury, because it takes a lot more time and effort to put
yeah.
a jury together
right.
and a lot more money. So they want to keep this cash flow going. So you got to think, who's behind the study? Who can benefit from this conclusion? Well, these attorneys put this study together to disenfranchise people, saying, well, if there's no difference, then why do we need? No, there's a difference.
Well,
there's a difference, because when you add a jury in family court, it's going to reduce the amount of cases, because now you have to put together a whole panel. And when you do not have a family, a jury in your family court, they are violating your civil rights.
Absolutely.
The Constitution says you will be tried by a jury of your peers.
That's
does not specify what court. It's all courts. All courts.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, when you have a jury of your peers, you're involving your community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is a community there. Okay. And you are being judged by a fair, you know, group of people, hopefully, that are your peers. Okay. So you're getting your due diligence, your rights, you know. So I guess I want to say one thing. You're absolutely right. I mean, these people involved in a mother and father getting divorced, they have two children. They take on the divorce settlement, and now we've talked about, who's going to have the kids, who's going to, joint custody. Okay. The divorce is fine. I don't, divorce is divorce. You know, two adults in my opinion can settle those reasons as adults, especially when you have children. You have to take the responsibility and be mature enough and settle things as adults and keep those children away from their nonsense, their problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you have children, you're responsible for their well-being, meaning when you're having issues with yourselves as adults, those children need to be protected from that. Okay. And that is, about a family. That's how a family should work, right? A family deals with this. And so when you talk about custody, the courts now have given CPS, Child Protective Services, whatever it is in every state, it's different. We have Department of Child and Family Services. There's all kinds of different names for them, but basically CPS. You get now given them the power to decide. And you basically have 15 months, and there's your person who's giving you the jury. There's the person who's judging whether or not you are going to keep those children. And they're using all those people you just described, all those systems, all those agencies you just described. They're using all those things to decide whether those parents are good parents and they get to keep their children. Now, I got to mention this. It was Representative John Chafee, and I believe my mother worked for Chafee in Rhode Island. I can't remember the year, but it was, I'm going to say in the 70s, she worked for him as an assistant or something in his office. He was the one who said, we cannot rely on, let me write this, we cannot continue a system always putting the needs of the parents first. In other words, he was the one that really pushed, that said, no more putting children back. Now we have to think about how we're going to take, the parents don't get the rights anymore. In other words, he was the one that decided we can't rely on the parents anymore to get the rights. We have to now get involved in deciding how we are going to protect these children without placing those children back to their parents. So that was the man that started and kicked off this whole nonsense about, we can't rely on the parents anymore. We have to decide whether we have to put these children in other areas now, in other places like foster care. So I didn't realize that there was such a deep problem with Chafee. And I wish I had when I was growing up, because I would have related that to my mother. I don't think she understood that what this man was doing was basically trying to say, we got to take the rights away from parents now. We can't rely on putting those children back into the arms of their parents or their families. I mean, people have problems. There's a family unit there that wants those children. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, Family court is not family court, first of all.
It's not.
It's another word used that, you know, is a fake kind of facade of a system that is not for families. It's about money and lawyers. I had a lawyer one time when my daughter was going through her divorce, and I knew him. He grew up with our family. I grew up in a small town. Everybody knew everybody. He said to me one day, he came out of the courtroom. He said, and this is why my daughter's 40. So this was a while ago. The kids are going to be 15. And he said to me, I'll get those children back for you if you give me $3,500. And to me, that was a lot of money back then. Okay.
That's a lot that of was money a, still.
That was a lot of money. And today it's thousands of dollars. I mean, people are paying, you know, $10,000, $20,000 to get their children back.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay. So he said that to me. And when he said that to me, that was it. I thought to myself, I looked at the judges, I looked at the court, I was in, I made myself get involved in what was going on in that court system. And it was about lawyers, money, and how much money they could get out of these people and the judges. Right. And they were deciding their lives right there in that family court. And they didn't care. They didn't care whether you were a good parent or not.
What prompted my bill was the fact that I had a lot of parents. God just put me involved with a lot of parents that were good parents that made a decision that other people didn't like for their kids.
Yes.
And it's none of their damn business as far as I'm concerned, because they weren't harming their child. They just did not agree with whatever that expert wanted to do with their child.
Well,
and so then CPS gets called on these really good parents.
I know.
And then they're in the battle of their life to keep the kids.
That's right.
Mary, I was involved over Christmas at a foster care Christmas party. And because I know stuff just by my research, open sources, newspaper clippings, this report from late Senator Nancy Schaefer, and just reading, right? Just reading what's out there. I know that there's probably a lot of those kids that should not be there. And I was at a bowling alley. And so this one foster organization supports a lot of foster homes. And so this one organization, they have such a good heart. You know, that's a godly, it's a godly family who started this organization to support a lot of foster homes, brought all these kids in, and it filled the entire bowling alley of foster kids. And I'm trying to be happy because I know these kids are probably really miserable, but I wanted to cry because these families are destroyed. Now, maybe there are times and situations where kids should be removed from a home, but I'm sure there's a family member somewhere that could take those children.
Or should that's take right. those
children. But the amount, the amount of foster kids that I saw.
Yes.
And the stories I hear from people I know,
I know.
And if I am brought into these situations, I shouldn't wait till Carl, a figurative person to do something. Right. God is telling me go do something, not wait for Carl, not wait for my senator, not wait for someone else.
That's
so often on social media, I put out these shows or I'm in a chat group and they're like, I wish someone would do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's God telling you, do that blah, 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 whatever that is. That's your brother drills it into our head. That's local action creates
that's
national This bill is something that every state can adopt. Every state should adopt because it fortifies the constitutional rights that are being violated.
Right.
This is what my bill is about, protecting the families, protecting your constitutional rights.
I saw that.
And it's really sad. I need your prayer, Mary, and anyone watching this program, because we have a person who's sitting and occupying the governor's seat that is vetoing every good bill coming.
I know we do. It's very, very sad. You know, we're fighting a real evil, you know, network. Okay. We really are. Okay. And, I just want you to know that, you know, what you just said about local action, national impact, that's extremely important to understand what he's saying to people. And he started that, you know, with the election integrity and all that, you know, when we had, you know, the election taken in 2020, and, you know, it's been going on. It's not the first election. Right. You can see, you know, these people that have been in office for 30, 40 years. I mean, Mitch McConnell and Pelosi and Schumacher, you know, whatever he is, and Rhode Island's the same. You know, every state has these people that have been in for so long, and you wonder, like, you know, there's something going on. There's a reason why they're getting in, and it's not right. It's just not right. And what, by the way, if you're serving the country, why do you think you should be in office that long? Like, why do you think, like, why do you, who gives you the right to do that, to like, you know what I mean? Ethically, for your own self, why would you know why? Because they're getting paid. They're getting paid off. These people go in poor and come out billionaires. Okay. And
yeah. Is that with our salary that we pay them? That's right. Just not computing to me.
And that's, you know, this money, all this money, they talk about this money like it's their money, and it's not. It's the taxpayers' money. That is the same thing that happened when I was in the Catholic Church, working in the Catholic Church. People didn't know what Catholic charities were. These collections that the Catholic Church has been collecting forever. These collections, the people don't know where this money's going. It's not transparent. And we know Catholic Charities is involved in sanctuary cities, in mm-hmm. homes where children are being hurt, children are being trafficked. These things are going on. They're real. I'm really like at a point right now where there's no time to play dumb about this. I just had a conversation with my oldest daughter, who's on the East Coast of Florida, and her kid is going into, my granddaughter is going into high school. And I said to her, she's coming from a private school into a public school. I said, Allison, I'm going to send you some information, and I'm going to tell you to please start to wake up. Like, don't think this is not real. This can happen to you. With a child being stolen, a child being affected, a child being groomed. Okay, grooming, a police off law enforcement, they don't know what grooming is. You know, these things are happening everywhere. Cartel, criminal elements, pornography, you know, all this stuff is to harm our society, harm our American way of life, harm our children, harm our traditional values that we have standing as a very young country, 247 years this year, I think. You know, we're young and we're being attacked by globalists, by people that are very evil, that want to take and ruin our American spirit and our Christ, our Christ-centered nation. And so we cannot be stupid anymore. I mean, really, we cannot be stupid. You can't play dumb anymore. It's really important that people know what is your family court like in your town, in your city. Go find out who the judge is, who's sitting on there. Go find out all these things. Go find out who the clerk is in the court system. You know, one of the problems that family court has is, and it doesn't reckon, I don't care what they say, it does not recognize the criminal element that's going in and out of that court system, okay? So when two people are getting divorced, that's one thing, but when one parent does hurt a child, okay, there's domestic violence. First of all, domestic violence has never been, law enforcement has never been trained properly on domestic violence. Even when the Domestic Violence Act and all that came out, all those laws, they really didn't train law enforcement on domestic violence. And so the judge in the family court, they're dealing with criminals, and they shouldn't be. They should be. I know my son-in-law, my ex-son-in-law, he was beating my daughter up. He was abusing the kids. And he got the children under supervision of his mother. From my daughter, got it taken away. Like, these people play dirty.
Your daughter wasn't the one harming the family. Your son-in-law was. Yeah, oh, he had custody of his kid.
Yes. So she got, that's so she got a divorce. She got custody. She got, they ordered, child support. And so the weekend that he was allowed to have a visitation with his mother supervising, he also was arrested for drugs, felony drug. He had a felony charge on him. He became an informant. Okay. The weekend that he had to see the kids, my daughter went to pick those kids up. The shit hit the fan. He pulled a card. The cops, he said she was trying to grab the kids from her. Oh, she neglected she abandoned the kids. That was the thing. The abandonment. That was unbelievable. The whole system started. But bottom line was, that's the time. That was the weekend when the cops got involved and they took the kids from. They did what the informant wanted. Okay. In other words, he was an informant. He wanted his kids. He didn't want to pay child support. He wanted to take the kids. So they did that for him. So he would be an informant. So he would give them information. Okay.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey, everybody, this is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out thecommandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you can support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
This is the kind of stuff where law enforcement becomes corrupt. It goes on a lot more than you think in systems, okay, in law enforcement and judges. So he got those kids taken away from her, and then her life was a mess. From then on, she had to do everything Child Protective Services told her to do. They put a program, a plan on her. And and I'll tell you, I don't know how she made it through it, but they literally
do that to all these parents. They put the plan on and they're eating the time down. Because let's go into the Adoption and Safe Family Act. And this, I'm getting this. It's on my website. You can read it for yourself. It is
yes,
law.
That's very important to mention.
But very Senator Schaefer, she highlights the Adoption and Safe Family Act set in motion by President Bill Clinton that offers cash bonuses to the states for every child they adopted out of foster care. In order to receive the adoption incentive bonus, local child protective services need more children. They have merchandise, the children that sell, and you must have plenty of them so the buyer can choose. Some counties are known to give a $4,000 bonus for each child adopted and an additional $2,000 for a special needs child. Employees work to keep the federal dollars flowing. With that, there's a time limit.
Title 5-E, Social Security Act funding. That's the funding. Yep.
There's a time limit on that. If they don't adopt a child, if they adopt a child out within so many months, they get these bonuses. Yes. And so what they do is they put these parents in this system to start eating the clock away. Oh, that's right. So now the time's run out. Sorry, you don't get your child. Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean I don't get my child? Months. I've done everything you want me to do. I don't get my child. Right. No, because there's a money involved in this.
Yes, that's right. And they have everybody on their side. They've got corrupt judges. They've got corrupt doctors. They've got medical psychologists. My daughter, they put her through hell. She did everything they asked. And it was unbelievable what they put her through. And they still gave him, joint custody. So they gave him, he got full custody, and then he screwed up, and then she got the kids back. I mean, it's a system that is absolutely broken. It's a broken, corrupt system. I mean, I'm just one case. The cases that I have, seven children that I've been advocating for a family, a guy who's a Air Force, retired Air Force. They had seven children. The oldest daughter went for an eye appointment. Somebody didn't like the family member, didn't like her, or something got involved where it was corrupt. The law enforcement, they raided the house, took all seven children from them. That's Terry and Terry Stidman and Mark.
I heard the story. Were they homeschool parents?
Yeah, they were homeschool and they were Christian. Their story is incredible. And I became very close Peters. With them. Yes. So, wow. And they have an organization, Let Our Children Go, because, you know, God bless them. They know that people need support going through this. So they became advocates and supporters of families and people that are going through this. And they need that. I don't know what my daughter would have done. I mean, people commit suicide because they don't have their kids. I mean, I cried every single night, and not knowing they put those children, when they took the kids, they put them into foster care, and I didn't know where they were. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. It's just, they went out, they set out to do this to children. They change behavior. You know, when they take a child from a parent, they go out to isolate that child from their love of their parents. It's a very evil system, and it's not fair. It's just not fair. It's just broken. It really is. I mean, the amount of children that they have that they don't even, I mean, we know foster care. Look at the stories that are coming out about Florida's got two bad ones right now with the gay couple that had two little boys. That's Georgia, where they were giving the children out. What do you call it? They were making money off the children. They were raping the children. It's in Georgia, the two gay men that had the two children. They adopted the two little boys, and they were raping the two little boys and selling them out to other people and whatever. And this, they just got caught. That's a huge case. Florida, Clearwater, nine little boys ran away from a very well-to-do foster care, and they ran away. And they went back into that house and found that house was unbelievably just satanic, what was going on with those little boys and other cases. There's tons of cases in every state.
Yes. Came across a friend of mine who is helping the January Sixers, and he has a guy who has, like, he's slow, you know, he knows a guy who's kind of mentally a little bit slow, but he was also part of the January 6th, but somehow got out of the prison or whatever. But prior to that, he was a foster child, and in his foster home, all those boys were being raped, and they were trying to get help, and no one would listen to him because they're the throwaway kids. Oh, you're the foster kid.
That's right.
Society looks at them as the throwaway kids that, you know, you're a nobody and a nothing. One of those boys filmed it and somehow got it exposed. But one of the boys died from suffocation because they were suffocating them as they were raping them.
Yeah, raping them. Sure.
So there good foster families out there? Absolutely. God has good foster families out there. That is true. But there's also a very dark side to this that needs to be exposed because we have to fix it because it's an attack on the children. And they use that if, I mean, there's documents, there's newspaper articles on my website that shows that they disappear or that some legislators believe that sex trafficking is happening through CPS and the foster care system.
Right.
That is true. And Mary, you've heard stories. I've heard stories. That is the thing. So it's,
we got to accept it. We got to accept this. We have to come to terms with this. It's really important that we do this. And we also have to come to terms that we have a society right now. And this is what concerns me. It's one of the reasons I asked my brother to really put this team together that we do. We put every effort into children. This is what this organization, America's Future, is doing. And I asked him to do this because what we have now is we have to really consider society now. We have an abundance of sexual deviant people that are pedophiles, that are child, what do you call it? They call them a child. There's a word for them.
Exploiters?
Yeah, but children, people that hurt children. There's a word for them when they get registered, registered sex offenders. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So we have an abundance of this going on. A lot more than people realize. That there are, society is changing to a real sick kind of environment now, and they're everywhere. And we got to understand there's a real criminal element to this, like the cartel, these gangs, there's this buying and selling of children. And so we're in a system right now where we have to be very, very careful what children are growing up. We're going to have a very sick society if we have children growing up the way they're growing up right now. They're grooming children to be not boys and girls,
no,
but to be little sex toys and be, both boy and girl. Like, so we're taking, God out of the picture, God out of society. And what are we going to be left with? We're going to be left with some incredibly sick people. I mean, growing up,
that's right.
It's a cycle. So the cycle is going to, like, domestic violence is a cycle. It can be a cycle if it's not stopped. That's my point, is we've got this cycle that keeps on growing and growing now. And we don't want children to grow up like this. You know, their innocence is being taken from them,
Sherry Sapir, what ran for superintendent of public instruction in the state of Arizona, and she exposed a lot of the sexual material that was in the public school system. Right. That is part of grooming. That does not belong in the school system.
No.
You leave the birds and the bees to the parents. Let them about it with their children. How does momentum work? How do I read a story? What is 2 + 2? I mean, stick to education. That's what parents send the kids to school for, to educate on arithmetic,
math, science, and English.
But then if you're going to confuse the kid and now change the biology's part of it, where
science,
stick to real science. You leave those issues to the parents. If their child is confused about their gender, that's a family issue. That's not a school issue.
Absolutely.
You have Disney pushing it. I mean, we had that explosive video that came out with all the Disney producers that are very upfront about it and very excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an assault everywhere a child goes. We can't just on the TV, at school.
Well, it's all about social education. The social educated, they're socially educating people. Why do they think they can do that in public school? That's not, that social education has become more important than the basics, arithmetic, English, science, math, we don't even teach consumer ed. We used to have consumer ed, which was a great thing where you taught children how to, balance a checkbook.
Important.
How to pay for something. Consumer education is a basic that I thought was a wonderful thing. We don't teach, you know, electricians and plumbers and, you know, tradesmen in schools anymore. You know, those are okay. But when you start, when the school starts talking and pushing society and what you think, you know, you socially should be, then, you know, that's not their right to do that. And
it's not, and it's to be honest, a family thing. It's families, parents get to teach. The Bible says teach your children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And the Bible talks about a father and a son. Every that's day when the father and the son wake up, the father teaches them about the love of God and scripture. And as he's going, walking to his day, like it, God talks about the whole day, how the father is supposed to be teaching his son about the word of God and teaching him the values that God has for us. Yeah. It's not anyone else's responsibility to be teaching the values. It's your, well, as you as parents, and the attack on parents is so real. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products. And that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, it smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're gonna save yourself some money. So we're supporting a Patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So here is soapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.